Hello and welcome to the Trial Talk podcast. I'm your host, Charlotte Hartley, and I'm a Science Communications Officer at the MRC Clinical Trials Unit at UCL. In this show, we explore the clinical trial landscape by talking to the clinicians and researchers behind the work we do. If you're interested in learning how our research can help improve healthcare in the UK and around the world, this is the podcast for you. We're back this year with a new series for 2024, and it's also a very special year for the MRC Clinical Trials Unit as we're celebrating our 25th anniversary. That's 25 years of smarter studies, global impact, and better health. At the beginning of this month, lots of our clinical trials methodology researchers travelled to Edinburgh for the 7th International Clinical Trials Methodology Conference, known as ICTMC. ICTMC is the largest academic-led conference on clinical trials, bringing together trialists from across the globe to present their latest work in trials methodology. This year's conference featured a wide variety of workshops, talks, and poster presentations from MRC Clinical Trials Unit researchers. So, in this episode of Trial Talk, I'm speaking to a few of the unit's early career researchers about the work they presented at ICTMC 2024. We'll cover four different topics, from delivering a core outcome set for trials in severe malaria, to addressing intercurrent events in platform trials, then the effects of different cluster sizes in cluster trials, and finally, the wording around consent for accessing participants' healthcare records. First up, Gideon Asamoah told me about his PhD project and winning the joint prize for best student poster at ICTMC.
My name is Gideon Dakon Asamoah. I'm a second year PhD student at the MRCTU. My research is based on severe malaria and it's about developing core outcome sets. When we say core outcome sets, it's the minimum agreed standardized set of outcomes that we expect to be measured and reported in every clinical trial within a specific like area or clinical field. And in this aspect is clinical trials for severe malaria treatment.
Could you maybe give an example of what you mean by an outcome measure?
So if we are measuring a medical staff, we are measuring the end product of what probably a drug or the intervention that has been given you would produce. So that is what we call the outcome. So an example would be, supposing you are being treated for cancer, one of the most important outcome would be death and survival. So surviving would be an outcome or death would be an outcome.
What problem are you trying to solve with your research? Why do you need a core set of outcomes?
So what we are trying to solve is heterogeneity in outcomes that are reported in clinical trials that are dealing with severe malaria. Because we know treatment guidelines are very critical in clinical practice because they help to ensure patients receive the appropriate care and then treatment. But in the development of treatment guidelines, we use a lot of studies. But then the issue here is in developing the systematic review or meta-analysis, you would have to report outcomes. But when the outcomes are heterogeneous, that means they are all over the place, it becomes very difficult to put all these things together to develop treatment guidelines. So what we are doing is we are standardizing all the outcomes to a minimum that should be measured so that we can be able to develop this meta-analysis and systematic reviews for severe malaria trials.
And what methods are you using to develop the core outcome set?
So this research is informed by the COMET initiative. We are using two processes for my research. First, we are gathering information from systematic reviews. And then the second one, we've done qualitative research with parents' guidance and then caregivers of children who are having severe malaria to understand which outcomes are really important to them that we should measure when we are doing severe malaria trials. So we bring all these outcomes together and then we present it to the stakeholders, and the stakeholders would vote on it and prioritize which ones they think are really important to be included in the core outcome set. And then we go on a consensus meeting to meet with the stakeholders to also deliberate on it and choose them. But this is not to say that after choosing these core outcomes, the other outcomes are not important to be measured. They are also important to measure, but we expect that you would use these outcomes in every trials and measure any outcome that you also want to measure.
Okay, so they can use additional outcomes as well, but it's to make sure everyone uses the core outcome set kind of as a minimum.
Yes, trying to standardize the outcomes. Yeah.
And you said you're in your second year of the PhD now. So what have you done so far? And then what are the next steps?
So far for the project, we have been able to go through the stages of registering the work, and then we're able to also gather the information sources. So we've done with the systematic review and the qualitative study which I did in Ghana with some parents and guidance and then caregivers. So now we have the long list of outcomes that we are going to prepare. So the next step is to recruit stakeholders, present this list to them, and then get involved in the Delphi survey. So that is the next step for this project.
And then you presented this research at ICTMC and you won a prize for your poster. Could you tell me a bit about that?
Okay, so I think that was something I wasn't really expecting, even though I put a lot of effort and added some creativity in producing my poster. I got a lot of interactions coming to my poster and asking me about it. So I'm happy my poster got nominated as the best, and then also the opportunity to also let people understand that the core outcome set for severe malaria is an important research that needs to be done.
Yeah, it must be good that it's getting this much attention early on. And then my final question was, what was your highlight of ICTMC? The answer might be winning the prize, but what was your highlight?
Yes, you've said it. Winning it was important, but then my highlight had been the networking and also getting, I think I attended a pre-conference workshop, which were on core outcome set, which was very resourceful. There are a lot of things I know is going to guide me in developing this core outcome set.
Yeah, that sounds really useful. Well, thank you, Gideon. And is there anything else that people should know about your project?
Okay, so what I would want to say is, anyone listening to this podcast, if you are a stakeholder, being a clinical expert or healthcare worker involved in treating severe malaria, you are a person with lived experience in severe malaria, or a family member or a patient's rep, or a researcher or a pharmaceutical rep within treating severe malaria, or policymaker, I would be happy to get you on the Delphi survey and then consensus meeting. So you can reach me on gideon.asamoah.23@ucl.ac.uk, and then I'll be happy to have you as part of this research.
Next, I spoke to Jingyi Xuan, another PhD student working on clinical trials methodology.
I'm Jingyi. I'm a PhD student at MRC Clinical Trials Unit, and my PhD research focuses on causal inference methods to address the intercurrent events in clinical trials. So intercurrent events are the post-randomization events that potentially influence the existence or the interpretation of the outcome. For example, it can be treatment switching, stopping the signed treatment, and non-adherence to the signed treatment. The work presented at ICTMC is my third project in my thesis, and it focuses on how to specify the estimates and estimators in trials with complex designs, such as platform designs. And I'm trying to figure out, in a trial with multiple investigational treatments and anticipated intercurrent events, how to facilitate the valid analysis for each research question of interest by pre-planning for the analysis before we see the data. So we will first translate the research question into well-defined estimates, and then we can specify the suitable estimator targeting each estimate.
So what is the problem that you're trying to solve or the question that you're trying to answer?
Because of the presence of intercurrent events, it can potentially influence the analysis of the outcome, because we usually by default use intention to treat analysis, which ignore the existence of the intercurrent events. But intercurrent events potentially can influence the outcome, but that is a combination of the effect of the treatment and the investigation, and also the effect of the intercurrent event. And if we are interested, for example, if we are interested in a hypothetical estimate, so that is targeting the effect. If such intercurrent events had not occurred in practice, I'm trying to improve the use of causal inference methods targeting a hypothetical estimate. In practice, that will be better implemented if we're pre-planning for the analysis.
And could you talk me through how you are doing this project and what kind of methods you're using?
First, I illustrated how to specify the estimate and estimators within the framework of developing a statistical analysis plan. And specifically, we'll apply this planning process in the STAMPE2 trial, involving identifying the intercurrent events, defining the relevant estimates, and specifying the appropriate estimators. And then I conducted a simulation study based on the STAMPE2 trial setting. So I'm trying to address the objectives of both the trial team's objectives and also about our broader research interests.
So you presented this work at ICTMC. So how did you find that experience and what kind of responses did you get?
I think it was a good experience to discuss my work with other colleagues. And I think there were two discussions that were interesting. One is about the use of hypothetical estimate, and another person asked some details about my method. So that is about data collection.
And what would you say was your highlight of the conference?
I did see many interesting and inspiring works relevant to my research, but I think this time I would say my highlight was about the winner trials, because previously I didn't know much about greener trials, but it is actually relevant to everyone. I was very impressed to see that the environmental responsibility is being promoted in clinical trials. After this experience, I would pay more attention to this field, I would say.
I'm Dong Tran, I'm a second year PhD student at the unit.
Dong Tuan told me a bit more about her project, which aims to solve a common problem faced by cluster trials.
I think the trials people are more familiar with are the ones where individuals are assigned to different treatments and they are delivered at the individual level. But what do you do if you have treatment that are group-based, you know, can only be implemented to a whole group? So that's when we would do a cluster trial. For example, we have a new obesity prevention lunch program developed specifically for primary schools. So it is a school-based intervention, and we would want to assign schools to the intervention instead of assigning students, if that makes sense. So here we call the schools cluster. In cluster trials, the problem is that the size of a cluster may affect the study results sometimes. It is actually quite intuitive. In our example earlier, where the intervention is a lunch program. So larger schools tend to have more members of staff, better resources, making it easier to implement the lunch program at a higher standard and possibly like a better adherence to the program as well. Therefore, students in larger schools, they might have better results, you know, lower BMIs than students in smaller schools. And we call this issue informative cluster size. When this happens, common methods used in class trials generally don't work very well. in the sense that you might get a wrong answer from applying them. Yeah, so my research really aims to address this issue and finding out what methods work best and when.
Perfect. And so what methods are you using in your research project?
I think I'm using a mix. So I've reviewed published literature, and I'll be working on case studies, you know, analyzing some real-world class trials data to study the issue around informative cluster size. And I'll also be generating data to study the behaviors of a series of methods as well.
What work have you done so far on this project? And then what have you got still to do in the future?
So I've gone through a number of class trials that are recently conducted. We're looking at how often, you know, this issue of informative cluster size happens in practice, and how often does it give us a wrong answer, and how often people actually use method to account for this issue. So now we've had an idea what the current practice is like. Next, I'll move on to study methods that actually does account for this issue and see if they are indeed good methods, you know, in the sense that they gave us the result that is actually relevant to the trials question.
And so you recently presented this work at the ICTMC conference in Edinburgh. Could you tell me a bit about how you presented it and what kind of response did you get?
Yeah, so I did a 3-minute lightning talk to a room full of people. And the idea of it is to quickly introduce your work in a way that is interesting so that, you know, it could attract as many people as possible to check out your work to see your poster. So it's like an advert, and the product I'm selling is my work, my poster. So I shared the talk session with other 15-ish people. Everyone gets to talk about their work. We each take turns. So it's already a lot for the audience to take within 90 minutes. Not to say that we are talking about different stuff, you know, a lot of different topics and a lot of background information was going on. So I was just trying to figure out like how best to grab the audience attention, make my work as memorable as possible. Therefore, I actually ended up writing a rap describing the work I've done. I just rapped for around 2 minutes with a beat. And I wasn't so sure if people would like it, but I think it did work well in the end.
It's such a creative way of presenting your work, and I imagine you were the only person to rap.
I think I've done the only rap in the conference. A lot of people found it very entertaining, and someone like described it as a delight. And most importantly, I think I get to show people, you know, methodology work, stats research, they are not boring, or at least like not always boring. I'm glad I get to challenge the stereotype a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. I know there's the link on YouTube to the lyrics to the rap.
Yes, and the beat, in case people want to practice themselves.
Exactly. Yeah, and so what was your highlight of the conference?
It was definitely me rapping on the stage. And also people, you know, they gave me a long applause, which was definitely my highlight.
And finally, Kate Roberts is researching a very important topic in the world of clinical trials, consent.
So I'm Kate Roberts. I'm a second year PhD student at the MRC CTU. So my research project is called Crossword, and I'm looking at issues around consent to access data that's held within healthcare systems to improve how we're conducting clinical trials.
And so what is it that drew you to look at this issue of consent around healthcare systems data?
Yeah, so essentially there's been quite a big challenge that's been identified, and normally researchers require consent from participants to access their health data that's held within healthcare systems. So, for example, this can be routine health data from hospital appointments that's held within NHS England. And this data offers the opportunity to kind of transform how we're doing clinical trials and make them more efficient. So when joining a trial, participants are given information to read about how their data will be used and accessed before signing a consent form. But it can be really tricky to get that wording correct in the materials. So in a way that satisfies the requirements for the data providers, but also crucially in a way that's appropriate for participants and the public too.
So how will you go about your project? What kind of methods will you be using?
So I'm using a variety of methods. It will be something called a mixed methods project. So we're using some aspects from quantitative research and also qualitative. So from systematic review to doing some qualitative focus groups and interviews with lots of different stakeholders from the data access process to really kind of build a picture of the requirements. And the end goal for the Crossword project is to produce some guidance kind of for the best way to produce participant-facing consent materials for trials wanting to access this data. So that's the method we're using.
So why do you think this is important? I guess both for trial teams, but also for research participants as well.
So we hope the project will contribute to a more smoother, kind of transparent data access process for researchers, but I think it offers the opportunity to build trust and transparency with participants of clinical trials as well. So if we're able to make that process more transparent in terms of the way we're wording our participant-facing materials, it offers us the opportunity to kind of build trust and really communicate why access to this data will kind of help both researchers and the public in the long run as well.
And what have you done so far? And then what else do you need to do?
So far in the past year, I've done lots of different things and initiated a few different projects, but I've visited researchers across the UK. So I started off doing that. So I visited trialists in different units in Wales, in the north of England, and in just in our unit as well, to really understand some of the issues in appropriate consent to data access and kind of some of the problems that have been happening in recent times. I've started a systematic review and I've been looking at sort of analysing the language that's currently being used in some of the consent forms for trials accessing this data. And in terms of next steps, I'm actually just about to start running some focus groups with members of the public to look at some of these consent statements and how they're worded and begin to start gathering some opinions on kind of what they think is appropriate and acceptable in terms of the information provided.
So are you looking for people to take part in these focus groups?
I am. So we've had a lot of interest already, which is great. But it would be great to recruit further for this.
And there will be a link in the podcast description. So you've presented some of this work on Crossword at the recent ICTMC conference. How did you find that? And what were some of your highlights of the conference?
Yeah, so that was actually my first academic conference ever. So it was great to go. I was told that it was a particularly large conference as well. So maybe, an interesting one to go to for your first experience. But no, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I was able to present a poster presentation of some of the preliminary results of my systematic review and speak to some other qualitative researchers about that. So that was great. It was a really good opportunity to start in kind of involving other researchers and people in similar spaces in what I'm doing.
And how is the response from people who visited your poster?
It's been great. I think one thing that was really evident was how kind of important the issue is to sort out from researchers' perspective as well, but also the link to participants and the public. So that was really nice and really kind of reaffirming to know that hopefully the guidance that we do create will be useful and go into practice.
And that's the end of this episode. Thank you very much for listening. I've shared some resources for more information in the podcast description, so do check them out if you want to find out more. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Blue Sky at MRCCTU and on LinkedIn at MRC Clinical Trials Unit at UCL for all the latest updates.